Today's episode of Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by Breda Pest Management, the official pest control of UGA Athletics.
Presented by DogNation.com, this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So let me just say this right off the top. Coming up, you know, let's say about 15 or so minutes from right now, I have a really fun announcement I'm going to get a chance to make. We've been looking forward to doing this for a while. It's one of those things that behind the scenes, and thankfully I don't have to get too into all of the business part of all of this, but behind the scenes we've been trying to, you know, sort of dot I's and cross T's on this, and now we do. Something that many of you have been asking us about, well, now we have an answer we can give for you. This is going to be big and fun, and it comes up here in just a couple of moments. So stick with us for that about 15 minutes from right now. Really fun announcement about how the 2024 season for a lot of Georgia fans is going to be even better than it's ever been before. We'll do all of that here coming up. Prior to that, I think you probably know, if you're watching pretty closely, where we begin today. And that is with decision day for four-star quarterback Ryan Montgomery. Now, let me just sort of tell you this, is that one of the things that I feel fairly comfortable with is I've never felt a whole lot of pressure to sort of feel like I know everything. Like, I feel like my job around here is to kind of facilitate a conversation. You know, I'm someone who tries to reflect the overall discussion going on among Georgia fans wherever they are. But I've never put myself in the position of, I am the expert. I know everything. And anything that happens in college football is ... as expected from someone like me who can't ever pretend to be anything other than fully informed on every single thing that goes down. I'm sort of comfortable watching some of this play out, in other words. And I'm more than happy to tell you, wow, I'm not really quite so sure what's going to happen here. And, you know, a word that we've used some over the course of the last few weeks is the idea of a mystery, especially when it relates to Georgia quarterback recruiting, that there's a certain element of all of this that's been really, really mysterious. You know, it started a couple of weeks ago when it seemed like Georgia was open for business for Matt Zollers to make his commitment announcement. Zollers, of course, a pretty impressive quarterback prospect out of the state of Pennsylvania. And it seems like Georgia was a major factor there at the end. Ultimately, Missouri won that quarterback battle there. And going into the decision day for Zollers, we didn't know if it would be Georgia, if it would be Missouri. And more importantly than that, we didn't know what the activity related to Georgia and Zollers meant for a guy that we've talked about more frequently, which is the five-star quarterback here in state, Julian Juju Lewis. But somehow, some way, it seemed like Georgia was perhaps content not to get Lewis because of the fact that there was an accelerated timeline for Zollers well ahead of Julian's upcoming official visit to Georgia. And it seems like if Georgia could have gotten Zollers, it would have been at least a little bit happy here just to sort of end any recruitment of Julian Juju Lewis, who at one point in time we thought might be the most talked about prospect perhaps ever in the state of Georgia. But as I've said now a couple of times, the kind of chatter that I thought would sort of build up around a guy like Lewis just doesn't seem to be happening in the way that I thought it would. We now have more evidence of just how true that is because, once again, Georgia fans kind of find themselves in the posture of being on commit watch here because this afternoon, another impressive quarterback, a four-star out of the state of Ohio, Ryan Montgomery, he is slated to make his commitment announcement. I'll show you the stuff that Montgomery himself has put out there, choosing between Georgia, South Carolina, and Florida. This is going to go down, what, just after 3 p.m. today, obviously Dog Nation all over all of this. And much like Zollers at one point in time was sort of thinking about doing something in the summer and then pushed the fast forward button, you know, well to the early part of the spring. That's kind of what Ryan Montgomery seems to be doing here there as well. That South Carolina has been in heavy pursuit of him, as been reported by our buddy Jeff Centel at Dog Nation. You know, that's really the only quarterback right now that South Carolina's been going after. Florida's been, you know, making its intentions for Montgomery very well known, too. And Georgia and Montgomery have been linked for quite some time. And you want to go back through the annals here. Montgomery has said a lot of nice things about Georgia over the last few months. And so now we've kind of reached that sort of decision time moment for Montgomery where he's getting ready to make his announcement. And when Jeff Centel, who I mentioned a moment ago, when he wrote his story at DogNation.com this morning, he kind of gave you the full context of this here. Obviously, Montgomery is a player worth talking about, you know, in his own right. This is what, number 170 overall rated recruit. The 24/7 sports composite, he's the number 14 quarterback. He is a four-star. So this is a guy that has enough credentials that he himself is worth discussing. But just given the context here, you can't help but also talk about Julian Juju Lewis when you talk about Montgomery, because Lewis is a guy that we've talked about plenty. But as Jeff wrote this morning at DogNation.com, and I want to read this to you, that if the Dogs do close the deal with Montgomery today, it will signal a few things. Jeff reports that that will likely end the pursuit for Georgia with Julian Lewis. The talented five-star quarterback is a terrific prospect, Jeff writes. But landing Montgomery today should signal, meaning if it does happen, should signal that it will now be Alabama, Auburn, or Colorado as the teams to watch out trying to flip Julian Lewis away from the USC Trojans. So there it is, Jeff, in matter-of-fact terms, reporting at Dog Nation this morning that if Ryan Montgomery commits to Georgia this afternoon, that is it for Julian Juju Lewis. I believe On3 has reported that Lewis won't even take his official visit to Georgia later on this summer if indeed Montgomery does commit. So it certainly seems like, to use a phrase that Connor Riley used in our show yesterday, that Georgia would be happy to get out of the Julian Juju Lewis business if Ryan Montgomery is willing to commit today. And obviously the online chatter suggests that Montgomery will commit to Georgia. The name we've mentioned earlier, Matt Zollers, going into Zollers' decision day, there was a little bit of a split out there. Some people thought that Georgia might be the school. A lot of other people were talking about Missouri. It was not obvious that Zollers was coming to Georgia, and ultimately obviously didn't end up doing that. There's a lot more chatter around Montgomery in Georgia today than there was for Zollers at that time. Now, listen, we're also in the day and age in which anything can change, perhaps the last minute. Sometimes that goes down with recruiting. But there's a lot more smoke around Montgomery to Georgia now than there was Zollers to Georgia just a few weeks ago. So what is all of this about? And is Georgia making the right choice here by seemingly opening up for Montgomery and being willing to, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but perhaps, you know, reject the opportunity to be in the recruitment for Julian Juju Lewis. Even if it doesn't stop, this would certainly be a pretty big tell on all of that. And exactly why is it that Georgia is doing this if it does this here today? Well, we can go back a couple of weeks ago. This is a clip we've played for you before here on our program, and it's worth kind of revisiting again. Kirby Smart was asked directly by our Connor Riley about the role that NIL plays in quarterback recruiting, and Smart talked a little bit about that, but also kind of broadened out the subject to address what it is that Georgia is still looking for when it seeks quarterback recruits, and perhaps Ryan Montgomery checks these boxes well enough for Georgia that it doesn't think it needs Julian Juju Lewis anymore. Let's get some words from Kirby Smart here as a reminder on all of that.
I mean, we go about recruiting quarterbacks, about evaluating quarterbacks. You know, we watch them play high school. We bring them over here and have them throw for us. We watch their games, which is by far and away the most critical thing we can have. But, I mean, it would probably be a bigger picture of why are we singling out quarterbacks, because NIL has impacted the recruitment of every player. And in terms of where does that rank on their scale, it's one of the first questions of is that number one priority? Is that number two, three, four, five, six? And do you list it that way because you actually feel that way, or you just think it's the right answer? You know, it used to be, you know, every kid came in and said, well, the most important thing to me is my education. Well, I don't know many universities you get a bad education at. You know, they don't hand out bad educations. So is that truly what people were coming to school for 10, 15, 20 years ago? Is it truly what they're coming to school for now at NIL? So I'm dancing around the question because I don't really understand why specifically it's about quarterbacks. It hasn't, like, all recruitment of quarterbacks or any position hasn't changed what we look at because of NIL. It might change what their motivating factor is, certainly, but not what we look for in terms of criteria. I want a self-starter. I want guys committed to the program, the selfless. I want all the same things, size, speed. I want all those same things. It's more, be more selective over kids you pick and choose from, that the NIL is not the number one narrative.
So the reason why I think NIL probably comes up as a question for Kirby related to quarterbacks is because it was reported by websites that cover Missouri that Missouri used NIL to pull Zollers away from Georgia. That was reported up there in Como about that. And it has been insinuated that NIL is a major factor for Julian Juju Lewis. Now, Lewis himself has pushed back on some of this. Lewis himself has said that he feels like he's been misunderstood and that he's far more about development, being the best player he can be, than he is about just chasing the biggest NIL deal possible. But those rumors persist nonetheless. And so the assumption that's made here is not only does Georgia believe that Ryan Montgomery is a good quarterback prospect, but the assumption that a lot of people are going to make here is that Georgia also feels like Montgomery is a better fit for the program culture of UGA. For instance, there was the story at Dog Nation, a couple of weeks ago now, where Julian Lewis's father said he didn't feel like it would be psychologically good for Lewis to wait more than 1 year to become a starting quarterback at a place like Georgia, whereas it's been reported that Montgomery is a little bit more willing to be patient, wait, perhaps traveling a similar path to what Carson Beck has traveled to Georgia and hoping that he can enjoy the similar fruits of success that Beck seems like he's enjoying here right now. As I said before, no matter how much Lewis, you know, kind of try to downplay his relationship to NIL, it's still, you know, reported and whispered and insinuated that whether it be USC holding on to his commitment or a school like Auburn sweeping in and getting his commitment, that NIL will be a major factor in all of that, perhaps more so than Georgia is comfortable with. And it is really, really telling that if Georgia does take this commitment from Ryan Montgomery today, if Montgomery makes that announcement, it is pretty telling of Georgia's overall feelings here, both in terms of how it feels about Montgomery, but also I think you would definitely have to make a reading of how they feel about Lewis there too, essentially saying, if you still want to take an official visit here in May, we'll let you do that, but you'll do so knowing that we have a quarterback commit we feel really good about. So hard not to read all of that into all of this. And in terms of how Georgia fans should feel about Montgomery, who is a lesser rated recruit than Lewis is, you know, I'll go back to something I said yesterday. Look at the great success that Georgia has enjoyed. Everybody will point out the fact that Stetson Bennett went from walk-on status to Heisman finalist in 2022, and that's an amazing story. But the Carson Beck story is probably a little bit amazing in its own right there as well. For what Beck is viewed to be now, top returning quarterback in college football, as a part of the class of 2020, remember, he was rated outside the top 300, still a four-star quarterback, but rated, what, outside the top 300? You know, well out of the, if you think about, you know, 24/7 sports, the top 247, as they like to call it, you know, well outside of that. And some of that was kind of a mitigating factor of kind of a weird senior year where I don't know that Carson was playing with a lot of talent, which is, you know, I think fair to point out here. But still, it's not like Beck had a recruiting ranking that made him an unbelievable, surefire, can't-miss prospect, and he's turned out to be a great quarterback. So Georgia, because of the offensive system, with Todd Monken first as offensive coordinator and now with Mike Bobo, because of that offensive system, I do believe that Georgia thinks it can take a capable quarterback and turn him into a great performer. It did that with Bennett. It appears like it's doing that with Beck. And now I think it feels like it can do that with Ryan Montgomery. And when you see the track record here, I think that as a Georgia fan, you should perhaps feel comfortable saying, maybe Georgia doesn't need the bonus baby five-star that comes with a high NIL price tag and a whole lot of complications in terms of how you handle him while he's on his roster, while he's on your roster, I mean to say. Maybe it's okay for Georgia to take the quarterback who sort of fits in as a regular member of the team, the same way other quarterbacks seem to have done pretty well with while they were at Georgia. Maybe that is enough. There is a track record, after all, that would suggest that it is. So I think the continuation of this quarterback mystery, the next chapter of that story is written here today. It certainly appears that Georgia is ready to take Ryan Montgomery's commitment if Montgomery wants to offer it later on this afternoon. And it certainly, based on Jeff's reporting, would suggest that Georgia is no longer interested in Julian Juju Lewis. If that be the case, is this the right decision? And is that decision being made for the reasons that perhaps it seems that it might be? All of that, I guess, is still yet to be determined. But no doubt, fascinating times when it comes to Georgia and quarterback recruiting, and the next phase of all of that, perhaps a commitment from Ryan Montgomery later on today. My name's Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented today by Breda Pest Management. We are happy to have you with us, and no matter how you get to us, live on video, 10 a.m. across all platforms, radio, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep, podcast, wherever you find them. Just so happy to have you here, and so glad to have you part of the conversation, and so appreciative of our friends at Breda Pest Management who make it all possible for you. And I enjoyed being in Sanford Stadium on Saturday and enjoyed looking across Sanford Stadium. By the way, a new look Sanford Stadium. You got a new press box coming. You got some new luxury areas coming over there on the south side of the stadium. When you're seeing all that construction going on, just know that the same way in which the entire stadium has been kind of kept bug and critter free from our friends at Breda Pest Management for a long time, that's going to be true of the new side of the stadium there as well, because Breda Pest Management is the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics. And the great news for you today, you can put the official pest control provider of UGA Athletics to work for you there as well, taking care of your home or your commercial property, whatever, you know, kind of, you know, real estate you have that needs to be termite-free and bug and critter-free. Our friends at Breda Pest Management can do that for you, especially this time of year. Like, we're going to get a cold snap again before it's all said and done. You know what happens. When it's been warm, all the critters are coming out in the woods and things like that. Then when it gets cold, they're looking to go scurrying somewhere, right? And sometimes if you're not careful, they're scurrying into your attic, like flying squirrels, things like that. If you ever have an issue with that, trust me, I am not coming to your house to take care of any kind of flying squirrel or heard some of that had a bat got in their house. Like, I'm not doing any of that kind of stuff. But our friends at Breda Pest Management can do that for you. And that's why I want you to find them online. It's bredapest.com, B-R-E-D-A, bredapest.com, B-R-E-D-A, bredapest.com for more on that. And when you make the switch to Breda Pest Management for, like, your termite protection or something like that, they're going to put more money back in your pocket just for making that decision, because their legacy of service, been in business since 1975, 125 employees, that track record for success has given them the institutional strength to be able to save you money just for making the decision. So that fly-by-night company you have been working with, they send you the letter in the mail about the cost of service going up, even though the quality of the service you're getting is going down. Not going to be the case with our friends at Breda Pest Management. Once you find them online, bredapest.com. B-R-E-D-A, bredapest.com for more on that today. The official pest control provider of UGA Athletics. All right. Mike Griffith coming up. A really fun announcement, like 60 or so seconds from right now. We'll get to that for you there as well. Let me squeeze in one piece of Georgia football news before we get there. We had another name drop into the transfer portal from Georgia yesterday. This is right around the time we were doing the show. Wide receiver Tyler Williams, who came into Georgia with some fanfare as kind of a four-star receiver, good-looking athlete, and didn't quite work out here, and now he's going to move on. And there's a chance a player that has the athletic credentials that Williams seems to have, maybe his next stop's a better home for him. And in cases like that, we think that's probably pretty good use of the transfer portal overall, we think anyway. So we sort of wish Williams well on that. This is the second sort of official name from Georgia going to the portal for this spring window. And thus far, it's been the kinds of players that you would sort of expect it to be. The backups fighting for their opportunity, and without any kind of disrespect intended, the sort of players that thus far Georgia fans have kind of made peace with, and why you don't ever want to lose anybody off the roster, knowing you're going to lose some, these so far are the kind of players that I think most Georgia fans are kind of like, okay, well, if that's what it is for right now, then we're probably okay. And I think for a lot of Georgia fans, this is going to be a deal where between now and April 30th, which is when this portal window closes, there's going to be some angst, right? It's like, so far, kind of quiet. So far, not too crazy. People have made dire predictions up to this point in time. It seems like it's kind of okay. And we'll just sort of see if that clock can run out between now and April 20th. Before that becomes too much of a factor there on all of that. But another name into the portal, Tyler Williams. And it's just a reminder, this is why you want to recruit big classes. This is why you want to have depth at every position, because you never really know who's going to pop, who's not, who's going to really thrive and who's not. Sometimes by spec, you just can't quite tell. So you bring a bunch of guys in here and you sort of let them compete, sort it out, and hope for the best. And it's not always going to work out for every guy, but for those who sort of feel like their best option is somewhere else, we wish them well in that kind of next phase of their journey. All right, as we're around the doghouse here still, let me also now give you a little bit of what I think is going to be a really fun announcement. You know, One of my proudest moments here at Dog Nation goes back to the beginning of the Dog Nation era, or at least near the beginning of the Dog Nation era. We had our very first Dog Nation invasion. We took hundreds of people, I guess it was, on the road to South Bend, Indiana, for that wonderful trip there at Notre Dame, joining tens upon tens of thousands, of Georgia fans who also made that journey. It was a remarkable time in kind of that kind of pre-championship era for UGA, where I think my view of the program was, hey, we may not be the team that's winning all the national championships, but nobody's having more fun than Georgia fans are. Now, since then, obviously, Georgia's kind of gotten a chance to experience both the success on the field and the continued enjoyment of the pageantry of college football off the field there as well. But no matter how much greatness Georgia aspires to, this Kirby Smart era for me kind of started that day in South Bend with that very first Dog Nation invasion. And I wanted to just give you a little bit of a taste back in time of what that was like back then and how much fun that was. Let me let you hear Kirby Smart congratulating and thanking all those Georgia fans who made national news for the way in which they traveled to South Bend that day. This was a great moment both in the history of our organization, but also the history of Dog Nation, you know, the fan base at large there as well. This is Kirby Smart from back in 2017.
I'm proud of our fans. I'm proud of the fact that they came out and tons of them were here. The video shots I saw from Chicago before the game and the takeover when we got here, you know, that played a role in this game. That we never felt like it was so much of a road game. I mean, there was time our quarterback was able to go on his own cadence, which you don't usually get to do on the road. Definitely don't get to do on the road in the SEC. Fan base don't let you do that. We were able to go on ours, and I think a lot of it had to do with the red and black that was in the stadium.
What an awesome moment there when Kirby Smart says, hey, it was the fans who took over the stadium that helped actually kind of propel Georgia to victory. And ever since then, you know, Dog Nation invasions have been a very important part of our history here at DogNation.com and on Dog Nation Daily there as well. And a lot of you have been asking, hey, BA, have you seen this 2024 schedule? Are there going to be more Dog Nation invasions here for this upcoming year? And we're proud to be able to say, yes, indeed, there will be a fantastic collection of events coming up in 2024, because now, for the very first time ever, our Dog Nation invasions are going to be powered by ATL Sports Trips. A lot of you know ATL Sports Trips, and many of you know Matt Chernoff, one of the guys that runs that. Matt, I've called him a friend for a long time, and here in the Atlanta area has been a part of the sports media landscape as a radio host, and now he's kind of out there serving fans by creating these interesting and fun travel opportunities. They've been doing very well with that, and of course, we're going to now partner up with ATL Sports Trips for our Dog Nation invasion. So this is how this is going to work for you. ATL Sports Trips is going to be the preferred tailgate provider for Dog Nation here in 2024. That means if you go to their website, atlsportstrips.com, you can book your travel for a Dog Nation invasion to Austin in October and to Tuscaloosa there on September 28th. Now, the cool thing about the Texas trip, let me talk about that here for a moment, is you know how challenging this is. Because of the F1 race and all that, travel is sort of at a premium on all of this right now. But our friends at ATL Sports Trips, as a part of our Dog Nation invasion, they do have hotel rooms available in Austin. So if you know how hard that's going to be, you're able to get those through ATL Sports Trips right now and be a part of our Dog Nation invasion tailgate event in Austin there that day. So not only do you get an opportunity to be a part of the game day tailgating event, but you also get a chance to get your travel booked there as well. Tough to find hotel rooms, all kinds of accommodations. You can get that through ATL Sports Trips, and they've got the Alabama trip up there as well. Now, we think we've got even more announcements on the way for this upcoming season. Hint, hint, wink, wink on that. But I can't quite tell you all about that yet. But I can tell you about Tuscaloosa in September, Austin in October, Dog Nation invasion to these high-profile road games. And our Dog Nation invasion is now powered by ATL Sports Trip. So go to the website, ATL, that's like the abbreviation for Atlanta, ATLSportsTrips.com, and be a part of Dog Nation invasion to Tuscaloosa on September 28th in Austin in the month of October. Can't wait to see you there as we have Dog Nation invasion tailgates powered by our friends at ATL Sports Trips. All right, we got a busy show here, a lot going on, including still need to look back on G-Day, what's next in the transfer portal, all kinds of stuff there going on with that. So let's bring on a guy who always helps us have these conversations. It is Mike Griffith here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Breda Pest Management.
from Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
DT commenting at DogNation.com on the video we just showed of Kirby Smart saying, is that Kirby Smart's younger brother? Hey, listen, I got news for you. We all looked a lot younger in 2017. I just got to tell you that. If you go back and find some pictures of me on that trip, there's a lot less gray in my hair than there is now. I blame my kids for that. But either way, good times for the very first Dog Nation invasion and good times to come here in 2024. With that in mind, we'll bring in Mike Griffith. And, you know, Mike, we're post-G-Day now. By the way, you're looking great today. We're post-G-Day now, and it seems like it's, you know, a lot easier to start looking ahead of the 2024 season. We just made a fun announcement there about some cool Dog Nation invasion trips we have coming up with our friends at ATL Sports Trips. But how excited are you for this 2024 season? I think it's the most interesting schedule that Georgia's ever played. Obviously, there's some tough games involved here, too. But the name of the game is entertainment. I think this schedule is incredibly entertaining. And I think that now that we can kind of get some warm weather going here, it sort of feels like it's a lot easier to truly look ahead to some of these games. This is kind of the next thing that's going to happen on the Georgia football calendar. What do you think about this schedule, Mike, that Georgia's about to play?
It's exciting. I mean, the opener there in Mercedes-Benz Stadium against Clemson. I know supposedly Clemson a little down, but hey, Clemson's won five games in a row. And, you know, the last time Clemson and Georgia played, it was a classic. It was a defensive struggle, as we recall. But a lot of newness on both of those teams, right? We see where Georgia, the back seven in particular, Kirby had some questions about. I know Clemson's got some questions as well. So right out of the gate, the trip to Lexington, I'll admit, I mean, the trip to Lexington's not typically one of the elite road trips, but with Brock Vandergriff at quarterback and Jamon Dumas-Johnson, middle linebacker, you kind of feel like the Wildcats got Georgia's playbook, in addition to a couple of really key players. And then, of course, the trip to Alabama. And I think Alabama they'll have been tested once with Wisconsin. But the good thing about this trip to Alabama is I think Georgia's going to know who they are by then. I think between Clemson and Kentucky, they're going to have a really good idea of what they're all about and be settled in. They're home against Auburn. Auburn really not having the offseason portal season that I thought maybe they would. Maybe not as big a threat as I might have thought. Mississippi State makes me yawn. At Texas is so – what a tremendous trip that is. You know, that's one stadium I've never been to a game at.
Yeah,
and
me too.
Probably the game I look forward to the most. And haven't been to Ole Miss in a long time. I mean, Florida and Jacksonville kind of is what it is. Could, you know, might the Gators be a threat or will Billy Napier already be fired? I don't know. Tennessee is always an interesting game. And then, I don't take Georgia Tech for granted anymore. I just don't. So I think this is a fantastic football schedule in terms of entertainment.
Yeah, I think it is there as well. And, you know, it's kind of funny. The storyline for Georgia and Alabama completely different than it would have been just simply because it was supposed to be the rematch between Nick Saban and Kirby Smart. And kind of the only time, as weird as this sounds, the only time these two coaches would have faced each other in kind of a full stadium regular season game. The previous matchup was Pandemic 2020. This would have been like the first real regular season matchup between the two teams. Now it's the SEC debut for Kalen DeBoer. I think it makes the game interesting for a different reason, still really, really big, but just a completely different storyline than it otherwise would have been.
No doubt about it. And again, who knows where these teams will be? Well, could Alabama be upset it was with Wisconsin? And I don't think Georgia's going to get tripped up by Clemson or Kentucky. I also wonder, like, the Jalen Milroe-Carson Beck showdown, right? I mean, when the more I think about Carson Beck and advance the ball, the more I'm convinced he's going to be one of the top two or three Heisman guys all year. There's going to be a lot of stuff done on him. The hype is going to be remarkable. And I don't think Carson's done anything to lessen that with his spring game performances. So there will be a ton of storylines, obviously. The season with the expanded playoff, we're going to be looking through a different lens at this game. Would have been before, you would have said it was almost a must win. Now you say, well, you know what? You could lose this game and still make the playoff.
Yeah, let me just say one final thing in response to what you said there is that, you know, it is going to be kind of interesting that for Beck, who does have obviously big expectations of this year, you can do a lot of QB versus QB stories for him. You know, even guy that was his former teammate, Brock Vandergriff, Vandergriff versus Beck, or, you know, Beck versus Milroe. Milroe's got, you know, no short list of admirers here. And, you know, some people are talking about it in kind of an improved level of play from him, although based on fairly meager stat line from his spring game. But either way, you know, clearly that's going to be the case when you think about Quinn Ewers in Texas, and then you know, kind of get into Jackson Dart to a certain extent, I guess, is that, you know, for Beck, who kind of wears that label right now, possibly the top returning quarterback in college football, there will be a lot of quarterback matchups for him this year where you can sort of sell the battle between the two gunslingers at least a little bit, because there are some high-profile quarterbacks on this Georgia schedule.
Yeah, and Carson's going to look good compared to all these guys. I mean, his numbers last year were really good. I think he was, is he the highest returning passing yardage, maybe third in the country last year? Really good touchdown interception ratio. And what I saw in the spring game, Brandon, was, you know, it wasn't like he ran wild or anything like that, but he just looked more comfortable on his feet and extending plays, showed a little bit of speed coming out of the pocket one time. I mean, to me, those are the types of plays that are missing. And I've made the statement, and I don't think anybody is offended by this. They may disagree. I think he's the most talented quarterback Georgia's had since Matthew Stafford. Does he remind you sort of Matthew Stafford when you look at the little bit of mobility that he has, the incredible arm talent, really good arm strength, and even his mannerisms? I mean, he's kind of a chill guy, much like Matthew Stafford. So I'm kind of going with that comp for now, BA. I know you followed this Georgia team closely back then. What do you think about the Stafford-Carson Beck comparison?
I think that I sort of view Stafford as having had superhuman arm strength. I think that Carson Beck's got obviously a very, very strong arm, and I think that the demeanor is pretty similar. I'd say the level of athleticism is probably pretty similar, because Stafford was sort of a sneaky, good runner when he needed to be at Georgia, kind of a little bit like, you know, Beck is now. I think that Beck's got a very, very good arm. I think that Matthew Stafford had a superhuman level of arm strength. And so I guess that's the only slight difference I might say. But I don't hate the comparison. I think they're certainly within, you know, the range of similarities there. But Stafford's arm strength at Georgia just was jaw-dropping. It was just jaw-dropping how strong his arm was when he played.
So the quarterbacks since Stafford, is it? Am I on fair ground to say he's the most like Stafford since Stafford won? And then question two, I've gone in the press conference, I compared ETN to Cook and Swift. Do you have a comp for ETN yet?
No, I agreed with your question. I agree with Kirby Smart's answer that sort of, you know, kind of fits in there on that. You could probably put Sony Michel in that same category. And if that's where ETN is going, then obviously you feel really good about that. And to sort of finish your point about the quarterback thing, I mean, yeah, I don't think it's a huge stretch to say that Beck is the most like Stafford since Stafford, and that's all due respect to a record setter like Aaron Murray and a Heisman finalist like Stetson Bennett. But, you know, Bennett is the highest drafted quarterback for Georgia since Matthew Stafford, and I think the sense most of us have is that Beck will be drafted higher than that. So it's not – and now, listen, you may not be. He has to go out and perform this year to do that, but he'll be projected, I believe, to do that. So it's not a stretch to say that – Beck is the most like Stafford since Stafford, because, you know, I think that Carson Beck has a very good chance of being a first-round pick at quarterback, and Georgia hasn't had one of those since Matthew.
Yeah, and I'm telling you, I just, you know, it went from who's the quarterback last year? Is Beck going to hold the job? He did. Vandergriff transferred. Then it was the negotiation. Then it was a Lamborghini. Then it was, you know, Kirby. And now that we've come out of spring, though, Brandon, I mean, I've got stars in my eyes. I mean, all this stuff that we've micro covered, and this is the way of the world, the way we cover stories and you know, social media and the number of stories that are on Dog Nation and our content and the things we talk about. But now, it just coming out of the spring from 20,000 feet, I've literally got stars in my eyes with Carson Beck. And I'm saying this guy could win the Heisman Trophy. And the people in Las Vegas are saying, welcome to the party. He's been a co-Heisman favorite the whole offseason with Ewers. But like, no, like stone cold legit, watching this guy play and watching the throws that he made. And I know that stat line isn't going to blow anybody away, but you and I know that some of those routes were run incorrectly and there were a couple of drops and he was going against the defense that saw him every day. Some of the throws he made that he connected on, I mean, that was like Aaron Rodgers accuracy on some of those throws where he dropped that ball in there. And the disposition, I really like Carson's disposition that he doesn't feel like he has to force it. And he says, hey, I want to be simple about this. And I asked him in the post game, I said, man, you're like an NFL quarterback out there. Like Georgia literally has an NFL quarterback playing at the college level. And he smiled and he goes, well, playing in the same offense for 5 years helps. And there's really something to that, Brandon. I mean, even though we've changed coordinators and seen, you know, Todd Monken give way to Mike Bobo, it's pretty much the same offense. For Carson Beck, it's the same language. So he may not have started those first 3 years, but he knew the language. And I just think Carson Beck is just head and shoulders You know, to me, I think he's a higher favorite than Quinn Ewers is. I really do. I think Carson Beck is going to do some really amazing things this year.
Transfer portal is open thus far. It's the kind of players that Georgia fans were sort of expecting to hear, you know, backups vying for playing time and not starters who were high-dollar targets of another program. No disrespect to Andrew Paul and Tyler Williams. I think they could still be good players somewhere else, especially in the case of Paul. I like what I saw from him at G-Day. But is this kind of what you're anticipating between now and April 30th, the sort of names that maybe don't give Georgia fans too much angst, or do you still think something crazy could be coming?
No, I think this is healthy attrition. You know, Kirby told us during that prep for the Orange Bowl that attrition wasn't necessarily a bad thing, and it was kind of a huh moment until he explained it. Look, Georgia, you got to have scholarships open for the upcoming guys that are coming in, and Kirby said it before, if you're in year three or year four, or you find out early on you're really not capable of contributing or starting, then it behooves you to go somewhere else where you can play, and it also behooves Georgia to do that. You know, there was a time, and I know you remember this, and I think it was at Alabama when medical red shirts became a big thing. You go, oh my gosh, look at all these guys getting medical red shirts. Nobody wanted the stigma of publicly telling a guy that they were taking a scholarship away. Nobody wanted to do that. So Nick Saban in Alabama came up with the medical red shirt, which is a way to get a guy off scholarship and free up another place on the roster. Now, how legitimate were some of those injuries? I don't know. You do what you got to do. But I think this is a preferred method, especially when you've got a coach like Kirby Smart, who's such a good communicator. A lot of this buy-in with one another and knowing each other's why and connectedness, there's a lot to be said for the esprit de corps and the buy-in to the program and the ability to go to a bowl game and have everybody opt in. That's just one benefit. But the other benefit is you earn the trust and you build the relationship. So when the kid is starting to have these conversations about going elsewhere, he feels like he can talk to his teammates and his coaches about it and say, look, you know, in case of Andrew Paul, who knows, maybe Texas Tech in his ear, or TCU or somebody like that. And he can go to Del McGee and say, hey, coach, man, I don't know what's up, but, you know, TCU, Texas Tech. And then Georgia can kind of be on notice. And then Georgia's got a decision to make, right? Like, well, you know, maybe we can come up a little bit more for you here. Or, you know what, maybe that's a good idea. And when they work together like that, it benefits the student athlete. And it benefits Kirby Smart. And I think Kirby and his staff have those sort of relationships where I don't think George is just going to be floored. The AD Mitchell thing, that was something else. You can rehash whether he was injured or not injured that whole season. And if there was any type of, you know, Texas was talking to him, I don't know that. But for the most part, to your point, most of these guys that are going to be leaving Georgia are guys that were not going to crack the two deep or were not going to play and have a chance to start somewhere else. I'll tell you this real quickly. I had a chance to catch up with the Purdue coach, Ryan Walters, and I wrote this story for Dog Nation. And I talked to Ryan about the four Georgia guys that transferred to Purdue. Let me tell you, it was like Christmas came early. He couldn't say enough great things about those players, the championship attitudes they brought, and Kirby Smart. So complimentary. He said, man, to get these guys from a program like that, and to refresh your memory, I guess it was DeLon Morris said, gosh, now I'm blanking on the other three, but they're one of the cornerbacks, Nyland Green is there. Yeah. Purdue was thrilled with this. But these were guys that weren't going to start for Georgia.
So you talked about Carson Beck a moment ago. To finish up here, give me what else you think we learned from G-Day, just from anything, either side of the ball. What was your, I guess, kind of key takeaway? Now, you had a great show on Monday night, your On the Beat show, where you kind of gave your sort of final report card on some of this kind of stuff. And if you want to kind of sum that up for us here in a couple of sentences of what you thought the main takeaway from G-Day was.
Well, I mean, obviously I start with Carson Beck. I can't talk enough about this guy. I was so impressed with, like I said, the throws that he made and the poise and even the post-game interview. ETN was everything he was supposed to be. You know, love it. You know, really stepped up and looked like the guy I thought he'd be last year. And maybe all it took was opportunity because he was targeted a lot. He made plays. He was tough. I guess if I had a thought, I'm looking to see, you know, I know Dylan Bell had a pretty good catch too, only a couple of catches in that game. But I'm looking to see if somebody breaks out as an explosive over the top, right? Could it be Arian Smith? Perhaps. They didn't do much in this game with him, but maybe they just didn't want to show anything. Right. I know they put a lot of time and effort into Arian Smith. We didn't get to see it on G-Day. That's unfortunate. But I wonder if Arian will be that guy Coby White, it flashed. Anthony Evans is a guy that I've had faith in. And then defensively, we got to see Michael Williams be the guy that we thought he was going to be. Last year, he didn't practice a whole lot, but he had a couple tip passes, tipped one himself and caught it. So those were the things on the hot side. And the cold, you know, Kirby called his linebackers a little bit. Kirby called out his DBs a little bit. We know those are young units right now. But I thought overall the head coach was pretty happy, and I saw a championship potential in this program.
Mike, really good stuff. Appreciate your time here. Looking forward to being on board Allure of the Seas with you next week. We're also getting a chance to hear from you next week. We'll do a lot of NFL draft stuff ahead of what's going to happen on Thursday when you join us next week for kind of a pre-recorded version of the show, but live with you all week on board Allure of the Seas. Can't wait for that, Mike, and we certainly appreciate your time.
All right, thanks, Brandon. Have a good one.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
So good and fun stuff there. And as I said before, so excited right now about Allure of the Seas. Now, I realize that not all of you are able to be on our Dog Nation cruise here coming up. I totally get that, totally understand that. That's not something that every one of you are able to do. But at the same time, I do genuinely wish that you could be. I just am so excited. Saturday G-Day was kind of like old home week a little bit because I saw three or four people just, you know, after the game. They were coming on the cruise, and they were coming up. Oh, BA, can't wait, getting excited about it, getting packed. And, you know, it's that kind of time when you get down to the kind of the last week. And, you know, I've had cruise-related conversation this morning with our buddy Jeff already. And Kaylee and I have been talking about the cruise here a little bit. When you start making those sort of official travel plans, you sort of know that it's here. And, you know, I would say that for someone like me who genuinely enjoys these Royal Caribbean cruise vacations so much, there's a little bit of a pregame vibe to all of this of you're just kind of getting ready for game day. The cruise is going to be here. And so I'm excited about it. And if I could just take you all with me and we could sort of charter enough of these cruise ships to put our entire audience on there, we would clearly, we'd just sail all of you on as many different cruise ships as it took to get you all on board and make it a great experience. But instead, next best thing for us is the hundreds of you that do get to come and be with us. And I'm so appreciative of that. And I do truly think that if you can make your own plans for a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation here in 2024, you'll be glad you did. You know, we're watching this video right now of Allure of the Seas, the Oasis class ship, and the fun things to do, the fun things to enjoy. And like one of the things you'll notice is you see the sports courts there, you see the Flow Rider, the wave simulator. You kind of look down if you're watching a video below where it says Allure of the Seas, into the boardwalk neighborhood. I think one of the things you see is that a Royal Caribbean cruise vacation is a great family experience. You see the mini golf there? It's a great family experience. And it's kind of fun to do, you know, like we're going to do on our Dog Nation cruise, where it's, you know, a lot of adults going and kind of doing some of the adult type things, enjoying the bars and lounges and Casino Royale and some of that. But if you want to take your family on an unforgettable cruise vacation, an Oasis class ship like this from Royal Caribbean is going to really be that for you. There's no shortage of things to do, no shortage of things to be a part of, and I just want you to do that right now. Talk to our friend Jessica Slater. She can help you out with that. You can give her a call, 770-718-9147. That's 770-718-9147. You can also email her, jslater@dreamvacations.com, and it's a great time to be planning a trip, whether it's Allure of the Seas and one of those 3- and 4-night sailings out of Port Canaveral, or one of the brand new ships, either that's about to debut or did debut this year with Icon of the Seas. So many fun things to do with Royal Caribbean here in 2024. I hope you will take advantage of that. All right, we have news from the transfer portal. I believe probably the biggest name of the spring portal thus far, the former 5-star cornerback who signed with Colorado, Cormani McClain, is going in the transfer portal. And I guess this is not surprising. I think the situation at Colorado has gotten pretty weird here, just to be totally honest. You know, you saw the Instagram post from Shiloh Sanders yesterday where he was like, you know, defensive transfers, hit me up. If you're an offensive transfer, hit Shador Sanders up. And listen, I like both the Sanders guys as players. I think that Shador Sanders last year was a better quarterback than Deion was a coach. I think the Sanders players are really pretty good. I think that Colorado, though, is becoming a little bit of a joke in that it sort of starts to feel like the program is kind of only about Deion coaching his son. It's sort of like youth league baseball or something like that. Like, I'm a youth league baseball coach. But when my son stops playing, I sort of imagine I'll probably no longer be a youth league baseball coach. Most of you are kind of the same way. It seems like Deion is approaching coaching at Colorado like some of us approach coaching our sons or daughters. We're just sort of out there because they're there. And I'm sure it's a great experience, and many of us probably envious of the chance to coach your sons at the major college level. But does Deion have a plan for Colorado beyond Shador and Shiloh being there? I mean, does he want to do this? I was joking, somewhat joking, with our R.S. Andrews Cooldown audience of the day, that I sort of think that Deion's next gig is just going to be on ESPN College Game Day. I sort of get the impression, based on the way that he coaches and recruits, he doesn't really want to coach, that he's here trying to do whatever he can for Shador while Shador's playing quarterback. But after that, I just think he's likely to move on, and maybe it's through a bigger coaching job. But if you don't handle the talent acquisition process better than this, I don't know that you've got many coaching openings available to you. And Deion's great at cultivating attention, but that attention is not resulting in the sort of roster depth that I think people thought Colorado might have a chance to get here. And, like, they've got, like, two significant high school recruiting wins. The offensive lineman that's coming in this year and Kermani McClain. And McClain's already leaving. That's a really weird scenario there at Colorado for right now. Speaking of offensive line transfers and recruits, Caden Proctor made it official yesterday, going back to Alabama. There were some weird headlines on this because this is one of those things where, you know, we do the reportedly expected to, here's what's going to happen type stuff. So when something finally becomes official, it's sort of old news and people have known forever that Proctor was transferring. Well, so when yesterday the Proctor transfer stuff came out, I think there were a lot of people online. I was like, wait, he's transferring again? But no. This was just after transferring from Alabama to Iowa and now transferring from Iowa back to Alabama. This became official yesterday. He's not now transferring again after that. But this is a little bit of an example of Iowa perhaps not having its ducks in a row here. And, you know, you can't sleep on any of these situations here right now. And I think that Georgia's probably doing this for the most part pretty well. For whatever reason in my mind, I kind of connect this to what Mike Norvell has said about Florida State, where I think he has a lot of regrets about the way in which the build-up to the Orange Bowl took place, because they were out recruiting and they weren't mending their, you know, fences at home. And when the playoff thing happened and there was so much, you know, just disappointment there in Tallahassee, there was nobody on the Florida State staff to be there to kind of sort of cultivate relationships with their own players, and they all just bolted. The team fell apart, and I think that Norvell, rightly so, has expressed some concern about the way that all happened. I think the same thing is kind of true here for Proctor in Iowa. Allegedly, Proctor goes on a spring break trip with some of his Alabama teammates, and then, you know, as people sometimes do on spring break, sort of rethinks everything and ends up transferring back to Alabama. If you're Iowa, you can't let that happen. You got to be minding your storefront a little bit better than that. Now, for Alabama, this does sort of represent a pretty significant win. I actually feel bad for Proctor because when the news first came out, there were a lot of people who kind of like glossed right over this in the hope of, ooh, maybe that means Caleb Downs is coming back too. Ultimately, that never materialized. But Proctor in its own right is, I would say this probably represents, am I right about this? The biggest win thus far for Kalen DeBoer as Alabama coach, getting a quality lineman like Proctor back in the program. They're going to need him. But thus far, this also sort of represents kind of, I mean, this was already kind of expected to happen, the sort of, I guess, the most significant transfer portal news here thus far. We are still on guard for the apocalypse that some sort of prophesied. Thus far, that has not quite yet happened. One final story to get to you here. Paul Feinbaum was on McElroy and Kublik, the radio show there in Alabama, the other day, and he was talking about the nature of spring games. And this is something that I've been kind of noticing for a while, and I just think this is true. I think spring games are on thin ice. I really do. It's amazing how many things at Georgia are so different from the rest of college football. Like, our producer Jay Black showed me this, and I wish I had this to show you, but I don't. But he showed this to me, and I thought it was a joke at first, but apparently it was real. That Ole Miss, like, their sort of field day style spring festivities included a field that was only 50 yards long. Like, they had the end zones like 50 yards apart. It's like the Arena Football League, you know, the indoor war type deal here. A lot of you were telling me about the Ohio State spring game. I didn't really see this myself, but a lot of you were telling me about this, that they didn't tackle. This game was on Fox, and they didn't tackle. Now, if any coach was ever going to have a pillow soft spring game, I guess it'd be Ryan Day and his beard dye. But nonetheless, like, they're not tackling during these spring games. Alabama's game was a little bit of a farce, weird scoring. Feinbaum was on the radio this week saying he thinks these spring games are on thin ice. I've sort of thought that for a while myself, and I'd be kind of sad about that. You know, I don't know how truly predictive anything that happens in a spring game is, but think about the fun we've had over the course of the last couple of weeks of building up to G-Day and then reacting to G-Day. Like, it's just fun. It's just entertaining. And, I mean, I gave Georgia all the credit in the world, you know, for Saturday and everything else about making the game feel fun. There we go. If you're watching on video, you see this. This was the field for the Ole Miss spring game. That's an embarrassment. Is it even 50 yards long? I guess it is. No, is that 50? That's not 50, is it? It's slightly less than 50 if I'm doing the math correct in my head, which is always a chance that I'm not. Like, this isn't – okay. So we are – I am being told that it is 50 yards to give you an idea of how dumb I am. But I mean, that's the Ole Miss spring games field. That's crazy. 50 yards with the Ole Miss end zone about where midfield should be. I mean, I think Feinbaum is right here. If people are doing this kind of clown show stuff with the spring games, then pretty soon we're not going to have them. And I hope, I mean, so enjoy G-Day while you got it, I guess, because if everybody else cancels their spring game, I guess eventually Georgia probably will be, they'll have to. Because what happens is, y'all know how this goes. So anytime that coaches don't want to do something, they use the NCAA to ban it, right? It's like, you know, we don't, like, our recruiting staffs are tired of taking photo shoots with recruits, therefore we're going to ban photo shoots, and that's what this is about. Or our recruiting staffs are tired of decorating the hotel rooms before a recruit takes an official visit, so we're going to ban decorations. Like, anything that college football doesn't want to do, they use the NCAA to ban it. Like, eventually, in the name of player safety, like every other nonsense thing in college football, in the name of player safety, they're just going to ban spring games. If they don't want them, they're not going to make it seem like it was a choice of their own free will. They're going to make it seem like the big, bad NCAA just decided to ban them. Because that's anything that college football doesn't want, they secretly come up with a plan to ban. And eventually, they'll probably just ban spring games, too. So I'm going to credit Georgia on this. They had the black shakers, the red shakers. They had two different teams. They started the game at 0-0. They had the two different runouts, the video for the black team, the video for the red team. Like, Georgia works really hard to make their spring game feel like a spring game. And everybody else in the world may turn their spring game into vacation Bible school, but Georgia's spring game still feels like actual football. So while Ole Miss is doing Red Rover, send Jackson Dart right over, Georgia's playing football. And for as long as we can make that still be true, I'm going to be pretty happy about all of that. We'll make that cruising around the SEC courtesy of Royal Caribbean. Now, speaking of cruising, speaking of the Caribbean, speaking of being outside at the beach, boy, this time of year when you start thinking about doing fun stuff like that, you start thinking about taking the Finnish Long Drink with you. I really sort of think it – now, Finnish Long Drink goes great all times of year, but I think that Finnish Long Drink goes even better when it's that time of year when you always just want to be outside and enjoying all of that. That's really what the Finnish Long Drink is all about. Really, really good stuff. Really, really enjoyable. So let me invite you today to go to thelongdrink.com and figure out where you can try some of the peach-flavored version for a limited time, the Long Drink Cranberry, Long Drink Strong, 8.5% alcohol by volume, Long Drink Zero, no carbs, no sugar, the traditional, the blue can, the grapefruit flavor, the gin kick, still my favorite. It's a ready-to-drink cocktail. Listen, I enjoy things I don't have to do myself, and if you like mixed drinks, this is a mixed drink, you don't have to mix yourself. And in this really fun category of ready-to-drink cocktails, there is no better, entrance into that category from a flavor standpoint than our friend in the Finnish Long Drink. It's truly, truly delicious, and you'll enjoy it. So go to thelongdrink.com, and you can find out where you can pick some up today. Thelongdrink.com for more on that. So a golden shoe to wrap up here for you today, and we will show it to you on the screen. Our buddy George on Tap sent this. So he writes that one of his physical therapists is a Gator. So he says, I had to go back with my Jack Davis-style T-shirt to show. Now, Jack Davis, famous artist that has drawn some great Georgia pictures over the years. Just a really cool thing. It reminds me a lot of my childhood, really. And so he said, I had to wear my Jack Davis T-shirt to kind of show her what's up. He says, hashtag Gator hater, hashtag bona fides, at Dog Nation Daily, Georgia on Tap. That's really good stuff. What an awesome T-shirt that is, too. I mean, I love the Jack Davis-style illustrations. I tell you, it just takes me back to a time in which Georgia wasn't winning then as much as they are now, at least in my lifetime. but it was still great to grow up being a Georgia fan. Really fun memories of all of that. Golden Shoe going the way of Georgia on tap for that. Speaking of the lousy, stinking Gators, in real life, they're beat up about as bad as that Gator is in the picture there. 1,257 days, that's how long it's been since Florida's beaten Georgia. That's our Gator Hater Updater. We'll watch for Ryan Montgomery this afternoon, then see you back here tomorrow. Dog Nation Daily, presented by Breda Pest Management. We look forward to talking to you then, everybody.